Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Kentucky singer-songwriter Joan Shelley will perform at Helsinki Hudson in Hudson, New York on June 9th at 8 p.m. She has been praised by Rolling Stone, NPR, and Pitchfork, and the New York Times recently wrote that her music is folky and pastoral, with a sense of scale that makes her humble about her place in mankind and the universe, and her songs are serene but never complacent.
Gotta leave this house, go swiftly out. I've been lying around till noon, till the fear comes on that I might have fallen. Honey, I think of you.
Her latest album, Over and Even, is a collaboration with guitarist Nathan Salzberg and is available now on No Quarter Records. Joan Shelley, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you.
When did you first discover your passion for music? When did you learn you could sing and write songs?
I had always kind of been that type of being. I didn't really have a moment of realizing it. I lucked out and had very supportive parents who, one of them was a visual artist, so really supported my creativity of all kinds, singing and drawing and everything, dancing. I really wanted to be a dancer. But I just kept doing that while I was also entertaining so-called legitimate career paths. and then I just realized one day, oh, this is the thing I do. So I changed tracks.
What legitimate career paths did you entertain?
I really thought marine biologist was the one. I think a lot of serious kids do. And then anthropology is what I went to school for. Lots of good story reading there, story collecting and international perspectives, you know.
And does what you learned there influence your music, do you think?
I think so. I think it fed into my curiosity about what it means to be human and seeing through different people's eyes and just shattering your concept of what community is or what society has to be like. It kind of expanded my realm of feeling and thinking so that I could be a better writer, I think.
So it's always kind of tricky to ask a musician to explain or to try to explain where the ideas for their songs come from, but I'm hoping you'll entertain the question nevertheless. Can you try to articulate where the ideas come from?
Any song specifically, or?
Well, how about My Only Trouble?
Once we stretched out so far, my hand here, your mouth there, as the fog stepped around us, there was hay in your hair, and the salt of our skin brined the clay there within. It was mine that would harden and then cease to bend. When my only trouble, when my only trouble, when my only trouble is.
For that song, I was listening to and playing a Dolly Parton song, The Bridge, it's called, and I really liked the little guitar riff she came to it with, and I just admire so much her songwriting style, which is really to the point, really smart and clever too, but just, she just seems so genuine and present in her lyric writing and her melodies and her guitar work. So I wanted to write a song like her, and that's the song that I came up with.
When my only trouble, when my only trouble,
what other musicians do you listen to or have influenced you over the course of your career?
I think I'm such a sponge and I'm not a very good historian.
Okay.
But I will say that when I became aware of songwriting as something, like I wrote melodies and I wrote songs that didn't have much content, I wouldn't say. There were a lot of, you know, heartbreak songs when I hadn't had a relationship before, just kind of regurgitating what I heard on pop radio. But then I encountered Leonard Cohen, and that was the first like songwriter that I was listening to, and I was seeing all the meaning come kind of bloom before my eyes. And then from there it was kind of like into Joni Mitchell territory, and then also more current artists like Bonnie Prince Billy, who was from my hometown, so I started listening to him, and then realizing the depth of his catalog, just so, that was a huge influence, his recording style and his kind of freedom of movement.
How much influence do you think place has on your sound or what you create? Is Louisville part of your songwriting?
Yes, it is. I'd say that I try not to overthink things when I'm writing and recording.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get too burdened with concepts. So it's kind of loose and open in a lot of ways, and it's whoever's around influencing the sound, who like friends, and but also I think because of that openness and that lack of concept, it's a lot influenced by the temperaments of weather and the landscape and the people I know and their mindsets and things I hear on the street, you know, things like that seep in. And I really think this part of the world is very unique, but I don't really know how. But getting to travel and look back on it a lot, I notice it has its own quality. I'll keep working on that one, though, to find the words.
Over and Even is a collaboration with Nathan Salzberg. How did you meet? How do you begin to work with Nathan? Why did you two create this album together?
I met Nathan about, I think, 6 years ago now, and it was because he was performing for something called Louisville is for Lovers, which was a compilation album of Louisville musicians, and they were doing one every year, and he was playing. I also just met him through the music scene.
Mm-hmm.
But I had formed a band, and I was playing mainly with the band. We went to record the album Ginkgo, my first album, and he came and recorded on one of the songs there. So that was our first collaboration. Then on Electric Ursa, the next record, he and I kind of co-wrote the song Electric Ursa.
Easy Ursa, don't stir, don't fry. We are only passing through here. In the waning autumn night, under your stars, your
to make a whole album like that. And we went in and did Over and Even together.
Over and Even is the name of the album, and there is a song called Over and Even. Tell us a bit about that song.
Over and Even has a river running through it.
We sight the morning softly, take to them easy, the scent of the wood and coffee, our cup is filled.
And that concept of just patterns in the way we slowly work, erode the banks and create new shapes and kind of the natural course of things, though we don't really always see it or admit to it. And so that's the kind of the lyrics, loosely. And in the writing of it, Nathan had written a guitar pattern, and I kind of stole it away, and I rewrote it, and I came back to him with it. And he didn't remember the song, and I didn't tell him that there was one, because sometimes he doesn't remember things he wrote exactly, like technically.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of tricked him into writing a new kind of new song. So that was the collaboration, kind of how it went back and forth.
A collaboration with a small trick in it.
Yes.
We're speaking with Joan Shelley. She's playing Helsinki Hudson on June 9th, and her most recent album is Over and Even.
There's a duet on the album, beautiful duet, called Stay on My Shore.
Will Oldham also goes by Bonnie Prince Billy. That's the He's such an influence. So I invited him to do this and sent him the songs, and he listened to them, and I kind of picked out different songs. I can't remember which ones, and I was suggesting those for him. But then he listened to the other ones, and he's like, oh, definitely this one.
Stay on my shore and don't desert me. And if you go, the wind will blow you back to me. And if your boat is broken out on the rocks, it was in anger, but it longing.
He really picked Stay on My Shore to do constant harmonies, which is really hard to do and do it interestingly, and he's one of the most creative melody makers. So he really flavors that song. He's very great that he would come and do that.
It's so beautiful, because also, like you said, it's almost constant harmonies. So then when he stops singing for parts of it and you sing, your voice takes on like a new elevated quality in its clearness as it's alone, even though it's completely beautiful with the harmony as well. It's just sort of like lifts out of the song when he stops singing and your voice is ringing through.
And sweet in our skin with the salt and the stone, lifts pages of a story.
You also have a old-time trio, Made in Radio. It's you and Julia Purcell and Cheyenne Mize. Tell us about the trio. What does that fulfill that your solo work doesn't?
We do mostly traditional material, and with a focus on Kentucky music where we can find it. So string band stuff, ballads especially. We're three vocalists, so our thing is to make three-part harmony, an interesting three-part harmony, not just like the stacked triad that comes out a lot in bluegrass, but a lot of those modal songs, meaning more minor sounding and a little bit darker sounding. So with that, we have more freedom to kind of use our voices. Our voices, we found each other because our voices blended really well, which was happy to find people in the world that aren't your, you know, siblings usually have that kind of blend. We were attracted to each other for that. So we just do regional kind of tours. We're doing a tour in September. We're finally getting out of the Ohio River Valley. It's a nice balance to the solo work because there's not so much first person, you know, there's a lot of storytelling, and I get to play the banjo a lot more. So it's fun.
Take me back to the place where I first saw the light. To the sweet sunny south, take me home, where the mockingbird sings me to sleep every night. Oh, why was I tempted to roam? Take me back to the place where the orange trees grow, to my plot in the evergreen shade, where the flowers from rivers' green margins do grow and spread their sweet scent through the glade.
I get to speak with you today because you are coming to Helsinki Hudson, which is in our listening area in Hudson, New York. Have you been to Hudson or to Helsinki Hudson before?
Never. No.
It's a really cool club. I think that you will like it. It's a cool space and a great town. You're playing with special guest Sam Moss. Tell us about Sam.
Sam, I had only heard of. We just met about a week ago. He came to Louisville and played a show, and he is something else, like a really beautiful voice and wonderful guitar work. And I never really listened to like the old kind of pure folk until it's about 6 or 7 years ago. It really wasn't one of my influences, but now I find it kind of through these natural, I don't know if it's a revival going on or what. I mean, there's a huge variety in folk music. A lot of stuff I don't like, modern, I don't get drawn to, but he's just got this incredible pure sound, and it evokes so much to me. I don't know. I'm really glad we get to travel together for a few shows.
What is some of the traditional folk that was left off your music education that now you have and know, and like, who are some of those folks?
Like I said, with Leonard Cohen and Joni Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
I kind of, my mom listened to that stuff, so I didn't, you know, that kind of
thing. Of course. Yep, absolutely.
And so then I listened to Jackson Browne because a friend of mine recommended it to me. And then I was like, yeah, I've got this. It's totally mine. And then I went, my mom was like, oh, I love that too. I'm going to that show. And I was like, ah, shoot, can't get away. So I like a lot of the Jackson Browne songwriting, Jerry Jeff Walker, a lot of the country guys too, and ladies. Bonnie Raitt was an early influence on me because I heard an interview with her that I really related to on the radio, and heard that kind of how crazy dedicated she was to learning the guitar was inspiring to me. I like wanted blisters on my fingers after I heard that interview when I was playing guitar. But with the folk revival stuff, you know, like getting into Bob Dylan and looking at their influences, and then listening to like the roots music, like Ola Bell Reed and Dillard Chandler, and I don't know, just people that were who Bob Dylan was listening to, you know, realizing that's like our national heritage. It's our something that needs constant keeping up to not lose. So I'm more stuck in the like pre-Civil War period currently. But
as you listen to stuff like that, are there, I don't know what quite the right word to use is, but maybe like musical themes, like motifs or melodies or methods that they influence what you create? Or do you, my brain keeps saying sample, which is not what I mean, because it's not hip hop. I don't mean that. But do you pull from the music directly, or is it more of a influence?
It's subconscious influence most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But some little phrases will come up, you know, themes that have been through every song. Like there's so many songs about like Charlie, this guy Charlie in traditional music. You're like, who was the original Charlie and why did he do all these bad things? Or, you know, and there's like Gillian Welsh does a lot of this, like picking up little themes from folk music and throwing it in her songs and making it her own. And I've seen that done a lot, so I try to avoid doing that where I can, like try to make it new because, or say it in a new way. Because once you hear something so many times, it becomes cliche and it doesn't evoke anything anymore. And so it's a balance of that, trying to make a new image and then also using the tools of traditional music.
I want to share one more song before we go. Could you tell me about No More Shelter?
Pull up horses and carry me back behind the lines. Back to the water, back with the gardens and the vines. We're two hands of ash and gold. Chase down my fever and wash me with soap. When half of us were losing and half of us were wrong, well, a rose you planted.
No More Shelter. I was at the end of, I think it was 3 weeks, by myself, not intentionally. I was kind of stranded before a European tour. I got an early ticket and I was going to do this songwriting project, which fell through. So I ended up by myself, and I was very much kind of tossed around based on where I could find good places to stay that were cheap in Greece at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of good places to stay that were cheap. And so I was writing this song and thinking of home and thinking of a lot of things I had lost and was remaking, and kind of the spinning of life all the time. Yeah, so we went and recorded it and tried to make it an anti-rock song. It has kind of a driving beat, but we were trying to strip it down, which was really hard for a natural percussionist like Dan Dorf, who's on there. They want to, you know, do every rhythm they can hear and can express. So we were trying to tell him, like, hit the drum just once every two bars or something. And he's like, really? I don't want to do this. So this is the result. It's, I think, great.
Joan Shelley will be at Helsinki Hudson on June 9th at 8 p.m. with special guest Sam Moss. For more information, helsinkihudson.com. Joan, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you. The album is beautiful. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Once again, Joan Shelley is playing at Helsinki Hudson in Hudson, New York on June 9th. Her most recent album is Over and Even. Links to Joan's website and the Helsinki Hudson site are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.